Hi, and welcome this day. So glad you have chosen to join us. How do you move forward in life? Now, that question, right, that's easy when we're excited about something, when we can't wait for something, when we've got goals and achievements in our minds and we are just one step, two steps, right? We can't wait to get there. But how do we move forward, or even side to side? How do we deal with obstacles? How do we not get stuck when things are absolutely not what we want? How do we move forward? How do we keep going in life when things are not exactly the way we want it, how we want it? And this is a story we're going to look at today that really, it kind of gets at that. The disciples are still grieving over the crucifixion, over everything they had said and done and not done and not said. There is Peter who's struggling with denying Jesus. There are these reports and even experiences. By this point, the disciples have experienced Jesus' presence in a locked room where they were full of fear. That was last week we talked about. And Mary Magdalene has come across Jesus and been like, oh my goodness, like what in the world is happening? So there's still a whole lot of confusion. There's still a lot of grief. There's still a lot of pain, and yet they're trying to figure out how do their lives go on? How do their lives keep going? What new direction do they need to take? Do they need to keep on the same old path? What's next? And so as we go through this story today, to recognize that things are not completely clear. It's like just a little bit here, a little bit there, and they're starting to piece together their lives. And how do they begin to move forward? How do they begin to keep their lives moving? How do they keep their lives going on? Before we start reading, let us pray. Inspiring God, open up the words of Scripture today to give us new insight in how this is relevant and how this speaks to the things that we deal with, of how do we move forward? How do we keep going when everything isn't as we've desired? Help us, O God, this day to understand and come to new ways of thinking and being. Amen. All right, so beginning in John, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 2. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. All right, so not all the disciples are together. This is a story of just a few, of just seven of them. So something a little bit more, a smaller group than, say, what was in the locked room. This is the third story in the book of John. All of them have something a little bit different. Mark, the original ending, ends with the resurrection, the empty tomb. Whereas the others kind of had these stories of kind of going, wait a minute, what's going on? Is Jesus still here? How is this? How is Jesus' presence still with us? What has happened with the resurrection? And so here we are with a few of them, seven of them, and they are headed to the Sea of Tiberias. Right, they are headed out to go, all right, you know, let's go to the water. And maybe we can understand that, right? Maybe we find water healing for ourselves. And we're going to get a little bit of information here about why they are there. But to think about those few, to think about how they are surrounding and supporting each other. Sometimes it's a large group, sometimes it's a small group. And for ourselves, of who surrounds us during those times that are complicated, that are we're trying to figure out, how do we go on? How do we move forward? How does life keep going after certain things? And that group is so important to us. And we talked a little bit about it last week when they were in the room. When they had withdrawn, they were fearful, the disciples were, but they were together in it. And so here, the continuing process of being together with others and how important it is for us to choose people to be around. how important it is to be supportive of one another, how there is a mutuality. And so to have us question, who are we friends with? Who do we need to be friends with? Who are we inviting into our inner circles? Continuing on, as they are gathered in 21:3, Simon Peter told them, I'm going fishing. They said, we'll go with you. They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. All right, so they head to the water, which many of us can find healing, maybe kind of clear our minds. And Simon Peter, who, you know, he's the one who denied Jesus. He's the one who was like, no, I don't know who that guy is. After he had said, oh, Lord, I could never deny you. He's got a lot on his mind. He's struggling. And so he invites a few and says, hey, you want to go fishing? The fishing harkens back to their days where they were fishermen, right? They know how to fish. They know how to get out in that boat. They know how to do that. Maybe they expected to catch something. Maybe they expected to catch nothing. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they just wanted to be together in something that was similar and something that was comfortable. Maybe they were just wanting to clear their heads. But it's interesting, right, where it goes on to, they set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. All night. They're out there all night, and they catch nothing. Maybe they're unbothered by it. Maybe they kind of think it's funny. All right, well, this is kind of how things are going right now, right? If things aren't going our way, why would one more thing go our way? And to recognize that importance of, okay, what do we do when? What do we do when we feel like we're getting stuck? What do we do when we're not sure, I don't know how life is going to go. I don't know what to do next. And so that sense of sometimes we got to get a little bit in our comfort zone, but even that, it may not work out the way we expect, right? And so here they are, they've caught nothing, and Jesus appears. Verses 4 through 5. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, children, have you caught anything to eat? They answered him, no. In the midst of being up all night, in the midst of catching nothing, a voice from shore comes and says, hey, did you catch anything? A simple question and the simple answer of no. Not an easy answer, but a simple one. There are times where, you know what we've been doing? It just isn't working anymore. Maybe going back to that comfort zone, it just isn't working. The way that we have maneuvered through previous things, that's no longer the path. And to recognize, you know what? Sometimes you got to go, you know what? That did not work. That does not work any longer. And to think about how Jesus questions that, to think about how the presence of Jesus kind of questions, how God's presence kind of questions us in those moments of going, hey, did you catch anything? Hey, how's everything going? And when we're like, yeah, no, not good. I'm going, all right, well, maybe the way that I've approached this, maybe the way that I've done things, maybe the way that I've always coped is no longer working. Is there something different? Is there something different that we need to be paying attention to? And so that question really gets deep inside of ourselves as we're trying to go, you know what? How do I go forward? How do I deal with this? How do I deal with that obstacle of going, all right, what is no longer working and which ways do I need to maneuver now? Continuing on in verse 6, he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Now, I think that's kind of interesting, right? They're out there all night. They're trying. And I can only imagine, right, like the story suggests that they're just on one side of the boat fishing, not the other, and that they're catching nothing on that side. And they don't think, you know, maybe we need to change our approach. Maybe we need to throw our nets on the other side. No. Instead, Jesus goes, oh, so you've caught nothing? Try the other side. And all of a sudden, they're hauling in fish. All of a sudden, like there's just this abundance. And to think about that, of when we're trying to approach things, when we're dealing with stuff, when we don't like situations, of the way that we approach it, Our perspective, the way that we go about dealing with it, may no longer be of service to us. Doesn't mean it wasn't helpful before. But there are times where that's not the way to go. And so here, Jesus is like, you know what? Throw the net on the other side. Change it up. Try something different. You're all in it together. You can do it. Let's go. And to think about that, how important it is that sometimes when we're getting stuck, when we feel like, I don't know if I can move forward anymore. I don't know how to deal with this situation. You know what? I'm floundering. I can't deal. I've gone, wait a minute, maybe I need a new approach. And who do we listen to? Who do we seek out to figure out a new approach? And then even when we get that new approach, do we go, okay, well, I'll throw my net to the other side? Or are we like, yeah, no, you know what? That doesn't go along with the way that I've always done it and the way that I'm always comfortable. Like that just, no, I'm not into that. Do we shove aside that those words of wisdom of, well, you could try, you might approach, you could think about it differently, you could show up differently. Of do we accept help from others? Do we accept different ways of going about, different ways of navigating those obstacles in life, different ways of moving forward? Thinking about that, of how are we moving forward? It's kind of interesting because Jesus, like as he gives that to them, they have a response. They realize something. Verses 7 through 8, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself for he was naked and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. That moment of recognizing the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we don't actually know who that is, we suspect it's John, which is why this book is named John. But we don't know. We just know it's one of those in the group. And to think about the moment that the disciple, right, whom Jesus loved goes, wait a minute, I think that's Jesus. Like, it's like remembering, wait a minute, Jesus would give us a different perspective. Jesus would give us a different way of approaching. Jesus would challenge us in the way that we're doing things. And Peter's like, you're right. And so Peter, weirdly, there's this weird, like he's naked and then he throws a belt on, he ties something around his waist and he jumps in the water and he swims to shore. Why would you put on clothes to jump into? The Greek is not very clear here. And there are all kinds of interesting things, modesty rules in the first century. And so it's not clear what exactly is going on. But what's important is Peter's like, you're right. That is Jesus. Let's go. And so when we're thinking about that, when we're thinking about, you know what, I need to change my way. I need to change my approach. I need to change that perspective. I need to change the way that I'm handling with the way that I'm trying to move forward. Okay, what do we hold on to that is of Jesus that goes, yes, this is something different. This is a change up. And here it's important. We can remember some of Jesus' very famous sayings to help us. Such as, why do you see the splinter that's in your brother's or your sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Matthew 7:3. Or whoever hasn't sinned should throw the first stone. John 8:7. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. John 20:23. Love each other just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. John 13:34. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Matthew 16:25-27. And then much will be demanded from everyone who has been given much, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be asked. Luke 12:48. So to go, all right, there is something different here. There's something that is challenging. Who do we seek out? Who do we listen to? What is connected to Jesus that actually gives us a new way forward? I mean, that whole like, hey, before you take out the splinter out of your brother or your sister's, anybody else's eye, maybe you think about your own. Or the one where, you know what, to whom much is given, much is expected, right? Our gifts and abilities, how are we still using them? If we've been given that gift and ability, how are we using it to help other people? And then what do we exchange for our lives? What do we give our lives over to that really is unhelpful, unnecessary? Actually, it's really detrimental. Actually, we're going to lose our lives to that. That doesn't help us to thrive. And so here, to recognize all the different sayings that Jesus gives, that the different teachings that Jesus has, that how we internalize those things can actually help us in challenging our perspectives, in moving forward, in giving us different approaches to how we live this life, to how we navigate those obstacles. Right there at this very end, it's important for us, right, to think about how they've come together, of how they are maneuvering, how they are changing course. Because it's not just the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's not just Peter, but all of them are like, wait a minute, there is a different approach. And so for ourselves, as we're navigating those moments, as we're being challenged by how do you move forward, how do you deal with, how do we navigate around, of who surrounds us, who are we listening to, what do we need to change about our approach, and how's any of that connected to these teachings of Jesus, which are trying to free us, which are trying to give us new ways of living and being, which are trying to help us live this life in such a way that, you know what, we can navigate it. It may be difficult, but we've got it. Because God is with us. Because the presence of Christ never leaves us, right? That whole thing about the resurrection is that Jesus, that love, that God cannot die. And that love continues to surround us and be present. God's presence continues with us this very day. And so how will we allow that? How will we internalize that as we navigate, as we try to figure out how to move on? As we try to figure out how to move forward. Amen.